And now please turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 13, verse 15. Dr. Larder will conclude our evening together.
Just before I start, I'd like to say a few words to the Haitian children who sang. Many years ago, I lived in the country of Scotland, which is far, far away from Haiti and much, much colder. And the church that Evelyn and I went to for several years was a church called Partick Highland Free Church. And most of the people who attended it were people who came from the island of Lewis, which is off the west coast of Scotland. And their native language was not English, it was Gaelic. And when we attended church on a Sunday evening, after the English service, there would be a Gaelic service. And the way in which they weren't really hymns, they were all psalms from the Bible that the people sang. And I remember very, very vividly, as Evelyn and I would leave the English service, the Gaelic service, with most of the people, as I said, from the island of Lewis, thousands of miles away from Haiti, and as I said, much, much colder, the people would start singing the psalms in their own language of Gaelic. And as you young people sang, I remembered those people from that other island a long, long ways away singing the psalms, and it sounded very, very, very much like what you sang to us. And that's a powerful reminder to me that the people of God, wherever they come from, when they sing God's praises, even though you may come from a different island, a different language, a different culture, there's an underlying sameness that is very beautiful and for which I am very, very thankful. So for the young people, thank you for that praise to Jesus. Well, as Alex already told you, I'm going to be reflecting on a couple of verses from the same book of Hebrews that he preached from, and it's chapter 13 and verses 15 and 16. But I wanted to read to you a connecting verse, and it's verse 12. And the writer to the Hebrews tells us, Jesus suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. And then verse 15. Through him, then, through Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Now, I'm sure all of you are familiar with the fact that the letter to the Hebrews was written by a man, we don't know his name, to people who were primarily converts to Christianity, from Judaism. That's why it's called the Letter to the Hebrews. These were Jewish men and women and young people who saw in Jesus their Messiah, their King, their Savior, and who had embraced what we now call Christianity. In their day, it was regarded as a sect, a subdivision of Judaism. In Acts, it's called the Way. And the interesting thing for these Hebrew Christians is that all of them would have been steeped in Jewish tradition, Jewish liturgy, and Jewish theology. Several times a year, many of them would have come from wherever they lived throughout what is now known as the land of Israel, and we know from the book of Acts, much, much further afield. Jews came to worship at Jerusalem. And there, unlike in their synagogues, they would have seen the ritual of sacrifice. They were steeped in it. They would have seen literally rivers of blood flowing from sacrificed animals in the temple. And they knew that the faith that they embraced, Judaism, the Judaism of the Bible, was sacrificial through and through. But then in that verse 12, the writer to the Hebrews reminds these Jewish believers that Jesus was the full, final, complete sacrifice that had been offered for the people. He puts it beautifully. He sanctified her. He set the people who believe in him aside for God, and they were set aside for God through his own blood. And that one phrase, the writer to the Hebrews is saying that the Jewish sacrificial system that pointed forward to the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus, that sacrifice spoke the end of the whole Jewish way of worshiping God. The sacrifices now were no longer necessary because the people of God, those who believed in God and trusted in his Son, Jesus, they were already fit for God, sanctified, set apart for God, because of what Jesus did in his own body, and as the writer to the Hebrews says, through his own blood. But then, these Hebrew believers must have wondered, well, if Jesus is the sacrifice that deals once for all with our sins, what do we bring to God? Do we have any sacrifices that we can bring? Because in their histories, they would have brought lambs and bulls and goats and grain offerings and fruit offerings, wine, salt. They were used to bringing their sacrifices to the temple. And now the writer is telling them all of that is passing away. So again, the question, have we no sacrifice that we can bring to praise our God? And what does he tell them? Yes, you can offer a sacrifice, but it's praise to God. And what he's saying to them basically is, if that's what you are bringing to God is your sacrifice, make sure that it is sincere. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name, the name of Jesus. And so these Jewish believers had sacrifices that they could bring. It was their praise to God. But he says, make sure that every time you open your lips and praise your God who has redeemed you through the sacrifice of Jesus, make sure that you are honestly and sincerely acknowledging his name. The name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, through whom you have been redeemed wonderfully. And then he says, do it not only with sincere lips, acknowledging his name and his name only, but do it continually. It's amazing. We've listened to praise tonight, but it's episodic. The choir from Deerfield, the choir from the Baptist Church, the Haitian choir. It took up several minutes of our hour and a bit together. But what the writer says is that you don't have to confine your praise to a church service or a synagogue service. You can do it all the time. There will always be reasons to praise God, whatever your personal circumstances may be. I think often we think that the idea of praising God always, Well, we can do that when we're feeling happy. We can do that when we are prosperous. We can praise God with our lips when we're feeling healthy. But when everything is turned upside down, how can we praise God? What can we offer with our lips? Well, I think Alex explained it very well in his earlier talk. Whatever our personal circumstances, God is still God. Jesus is still Jesus. His sacrifice still applies to those who put their trust in him, and that is valid, and the hope of heaven and home is in front of God's people, whatever they are going through. So if I can't praise him because I'm healthy, if I can't praise him because I'm not rich, if I can't praise him because I've just been fired from my job, I can still praise him for being him and what he has done through his Son for our good and our salvation. But finally, praise to God with the fruit of our lips, that sacrifice, is not just something we say or an attitude of mind and heart. The writer to the Hebrews goes on to say, it's not just what you say to God in praise that's an acceptable sacrifice. It's about what you do. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. First of all, he puts it rather negatively. He says, don't neglect to do good. That means every day, and I would almost think every waking hour of every day, we are faced with choices about what we're going to do. And the writer tells us, choose the good. Don't neglect when you have that option of doing this thing over here, which is the good thing, the right thing. And equally at the same time, you have the choice over here of the thing that is not good. He's saying, Christians, you can make choices to offer this sacrifice of doing something good now. And what is that good primarily that he's focusing on in verse 16? He says, share what you have. Now, this afternoon after our morning service, several of the people from the congregation did something that they do every year. They put together baskets of food, and then these are delivered to people within the wider community who may not have the abundance that we have. And particularly at this season of the year, and Alex pointed this out as well, when this sharing is mentioned, we think of things. At Thanksgiving, food. At Christmas, tangible gifts. But I want you to think in closing about another thing that we have that we can share, and that's who we are. One of the things that troubles me about the kind of time we're living in now is that, for me, it seems to be becoming increasingly impersonal. I've seen this very dramatically illustrated when, on occasion, if I'm eating in a restaurant, there will be people nearby, sometimes a family unit, sometimes a couple, sometimes a few friends. And as I watch them, none of them are interacting with one another. They have their smartphones, their iPhones, and literally the whole time is spent focused on this mechanical thing that they hold in their hands. There's no sharing of verbal intimacy. There is no discussion of life events. There is no getting to know one another more closely or more meaningfully. We are absorbed in our things, with its rapidly moving images and its plethora of meaningless information. You have no idea what it means to share who you are meaningfully with another human being, to share time where you listen. Listen with everything you have to what they're telling you. To visit the lonely, the aged, the sick, the dying. I think ultimately the sharing that is most meaningful and the sacrifice which is most pleasing to God when his people offer it is when they can say honestly, Lord, here I am, in this moment, with this human being, with all of my mixed motives, all of my sin, all of my weakness, but Lord, it's yours. And through you, it is this other individual for as long as we are together. Is this not, in the end, what Jesus did for us? In totally giving himself to redeem the sins of his people, and in the words of the Bible, to save his people from their sins. This is what he did. Everything he had, all that he was sacrificed for us, our good and our salvation. He gave himself. As the writer says, the people were sanctified through his own life's blood. That sacrifice stands alone. And yet for those of us who are following the Lamb wherever he may lead, that is the greatest sacrifice that we can give. Who we are and what Jesus has made us, given freely to men and women and young people for Jesus' sake, with the sacrifice of ourselves, our time, our emotions, our personal investment. Trust me, he is well pleased with those sacrifices and always will be. Dear Lord, hear us, bless this congregation of your people, and enable us to share what we have, ourselves, our hearts, our words, our time. And as we do so for Jesus' sake, may it be pleasing in your sight. And this we ask in his name. Amen.